I'm Emma Bennett, co-founder and principal of Bembridge Academy, a fully online school. My husband and I founded Bembridge Academy 2 years ago. Having put three children through school ourselves, we realised there was a need for greater choice when it comes to how children are educated. We're incredibly passionate about providing individualised pathways for students, and online learning really enables us to tailor learning to meet the needs of our whole community. The one-size-fits-all model of education just doesn't work for a growing number of students now, and Bembridge offers an alternative choice, which not only provides a high-quality education, but really focuses on 21st-century skills that are going to be essential for future success.
And you'd come, both your husband and yourself, had been in education for some time.
Yeah, so over 30 years between us. We've taught in state schools, private schools. We've taught internationally. We're both head teachers. I'm a qualified head teacher myself. So we've brought all of our experience, our ethos, our experience as parents and educators to what is now Bembridge Academy.
So why online? Is this to provide an alternative or to provide flexibility or both?
The whole concept is centred around both. Bembridge Academy offers a positive alternative option to mainstream school that gives parents and students a degree of flexibility over their educational choices. For example, we support those who choose to home educate. We've got a variety of different packages. We offer part-time and full-time pathways to students from years 3 to 13, including a wide range of IGCSE and A-level options. Our families come to us for a whole host of reasons, you know, from those for whom traditional school isn't working for whatever reason, and so they're looking for a school that can meet their child's needs in a different way, to families who choose to travel or live and work abroad. Choosing Bembridge and studying online means families living different types of lifestyle can do so in the knowledge their children can continue to learn without any gaps in their education. And we also have families who have chosen this pathway simply because they prefer it as an option. Some students don't particularly enjoy traditional school and simply prefer to work at home in a quiet, calm environment where they can focus solely on studying, and that makes Bembridge a perfect choice for them.
So do you think it would be suitable for anyone? You mentioned, as you say, some people are travelling, some have an alternative lifestyle. Would it suit any student and any family, or something they'd have to consider?
It's all about what works for you. So there is not one size fits all solution. That's, you know, part of the kind of consideration in terms of education today. You know, traditional school, you know, it doesn't suit everybody, does it? You know, we've got such a diverse range of needs now that traditional schooling and the traditional school environment doesn't suit everybody. It's the same with online. You know, online's not going to be for everybody. But as I said before, it's about choice. It's all about giving parents an alternative choice. If you don't want your child to be in a traditional school environment, sat in a class of 30 children, you know, sitting facing the front, having to follow those kind of rules all day, every day, which doesn't suit a lot of children, then it's an alternative pathway. But, you know, in order to be able to work from home online, you're going to need family support. You're going to need a bit of self-discipline. You know, you're going to need to have some independent study skills and that kind of thing. So, you know, there are a lot of factors to take into consideration. So it doesn't suit everybody, but it's certainly a really positive alternative for a lot of families.
And we do hear of people who just choose to home educate. So it's suitable for them, even if they're not, as you say, travelling or moving around the world or something, they're static, they're just based on the island or in the UK or something. It's suitable for them if they just feel that, yes, you know what, I want to home educate my child.
Absolutely. And home education is on the rise massively. I know there's a growing home education population here on the island, but certainly in the UK as well. It's really home education is becoming a really popular choice for many reasons. Some families with students who are children who have got ADHD, autism, other kinds of special need that are just finding that those environments aren't quite working for their children. But sometimes, you know, some families that just feel that home education is the way to go. I mean, there is a difference between home educating and homeschooling. Home educating families can choose to educate in a whole host of different ways, really. They don't actually even have to follow a formal curriculum as such. They don't have to replicate school. Then homeschooling is a slightly different thing where you do tend to follow a curriculum and elements of schooling in a more formal way. But yes, it is becoming a more popular choice for families for a range of different reasons.
So you would be providing homeschooling rather than...
Yeah, and we would be more of a choice for those who wanted to homeschool because we do follow a formal curriculum. We're a Pearson EdExcel approved online examination centre now, so we do follow Pearson specifications. We support students right through their IGCSEs and A-levels. And we've got an international primary curriculum that's, you know, kind of very globally minded to suit, you know, all of our families and our community.
Compared to, if we say, traditional education, sort of going to school, the usual sort of thing, being dropped off at the school gate and such like, would you perceive what's provided by Benbridge as being complementary to traditional education rather than in opposition to it?
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't want to put ourselves in opposition to traditional education. I think it just comes back to choice, doesn't it? Different pathways for different children, for different families, for different reasons at the end of the day. We work with schools. We've got some families who are who have got children who are flexi schooling. So I report attendance to that school every week that they're still enrolled with, but they do all their education online with us at the moment. So that's a flexi schooling approach, which some schools, they don't have to agree to it. But if they want to work with the family for the best, you know, the best needs of the child, some schools do agree to do that. So this particular girl is online with us, but she's still on roll with her school and we're working together to make sure that she's getting the education she needs. She may or may not return to that mainstream setting. We've got other children who go to school 2 days a week and actually are online with us 3 days a week. Working with schools is definitely the way forward. You know, we don't want to be in opposition, but it is an alternative choice if, you know, if children aren't kind of, you know, thriving in that mainstream situation.
So you can do that hybrid approach.
You can do that hybrid approach. I'm not sure that's particularly common at the moment. I think as awareness, you know, builds really of the options of online schooling, it might become a more commonplace choice. Families have chosen for years have chosen to send their children to private school, haven't they, for one reason or another, and we're just another kind of choice in, you know, in that direction, but we're online, not in a physical building.
So it's coming back to what you were saying before about providing an alternative and flexibility in so many ways.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't have to be Monday to Friday 9 till 3, you know, every single week. It can be part-time, it can be, you know, our timetables are very flexible. So, you know, children won't be sat at a screen for 5 hours a day. There's a lot of flexibility in how we design their timetable.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to come round to, the practicalities then. So if you have parents have come along and their child is going to enrol with the academy, they're not going to be like dropping the children off at the school gate. How does the practicality, how does the school day or the actual system work?
So students that come online with us, that enrol with us, firstly, you know, obviously parents talk to us about what they need and how it's going to work. And the first thing they're going to need is a comfortable working environment. So, you know, this usually works for families where perhaps there's a parent or an adult at home, so they can have some kind of support at home. Because as you say, they're not being dropped off at the door, we can't physically look after them. So there is usually an adult around just to support the child. So they need a laptop, headphones, microphone, camera, and a nice comfortable working environment. Obviously that's, you know, the practical side of things in their house. So once they're online with us, we design their timetable with live lessons throughout the week. And that's mixed in with independent guided study sessions. So, you know, the children have a very structured week. It's not just, you know, they come on for their live lesson and they're off for the rest of the day. They do have some guided independent study tasks that are built into their timetable, so that they have got the structure, you know, because if they just had an independent task to do and they knew they had all day to do it, well, you know, they're going to do what we do, aren't they? They're going to procrastinate and put it off.
I probably would.
Until the very last minute. So yeah, they have a structured timetable, but within that there is the flexibility. So if they have a task that needs to be done at a certain time, however they want to go, you know, go for a walk, do something to, you know, enhance their well-being, spend some time with the family, they have got a little bit of wriggle room, which is why families really enjoy that flexibility, so that it's not a rigid 9 till 3 kind of situation.
And again, just being purely practical, as you were saying, having a laptop there, being in a comfortable place to actually learn, have your headphones and such like, can the students see the teacher and other students then? How does that work?
We do have a camera on policy, which some students do find a little bit challenging at times, but it's very important for engagement and interaction to be able to see each other's faces. You know, it's no fun for anyone talking to a blank screen. So we do try and encourage students to keep their cameras on. We have small groups of children. Our class sizes are averaging around 9 at the moment. We won't go past 15. We've always made that pledge that once you get to 15, we think that is a large enough group. And we would then open a second class if that were to be the case. So we do promise families that we'll keep class sizes small. And that really does ensure that we can have that interaction that you were just talking about, being able to see each other, talk to each other. Students and teachers can interact in a variety of ways. So there's obviously verbal conversation with the microphone. They can use the chat function, which some students find, you know, a really good way of communicating, particularly if they feel a little shy speaking. But yeah, the idea is a small group of live, interactive, you know, actual lesson with the teacher so that they can all, you know, communicate well with each other.
And are those smaller sizes, do you think, keeps it more personal?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the keys to our success, really, and the feedback we've had from families is our personal touch, really, and is how, you know, personalised we can make that learning journey. With the small class sizes, teachers get to know the students really, really well. And I do. I know the families really well. I know our students, because at the moment, you know, with those small class sizes, as you say, it is easier to get to know each other. And it does help with the interaction. It means that there's always some time and space for people to talk, to share ideas, to actually engage with learning, which you don't get with the bigger class sizes. We've had students come to us from other kind of alternative, you know, online situations that they've tried. And the feedback has generally been that the classes have been quite large, a little bit more lecture style with the headphones and, you know, just without very much interaction. So we do pride ourselves in our kind of small, intimate, caring approach to our classes. And, you know, we do intend to keep it that way.
So how bespoke can the lesson plan be with regard to timetabling?
With regard to the actual lessons, because there are so few students in a class, it's not too difficult to individualise learning, because even though you are teaching them as a group, we do have breakout rooms. There are ways of splitting children into different groups. And because it's so small, it is easier to work with individual children and kind of differentiate that learning. In terms of their timetables, whilst we do have you know, a set timetable, as you would expect, you know, the maths teacher is teaching maths at these particular times of day. There is flexibility within that. We've got students who are attending different lessons across different year groups. So, for example, we've got an incredibly gifted and talented 10-year-old who is in our GCSE maths class. He's in our year 11 Spanish class. He's just about to take his GCSEs this year in Spanish. But he's in the lower key stage 3, 4 science, global perspectives, computing, some of those other, you know, subjects, because he hasn't had much experience of those because he's been home educated previously. So we made, you know, that was very bespoke to him, to make sure that he was getting exactly what he needed, you know, for each subject, really. And I could give you 2 or 3 other examples of students where that is the case. So we are committed to working with families to design a pathway that really does meet the needs of their individual child. So whilst that doesn't necessarily mean we can completely change when certain lessons are timetabled, it does mean that we can work together to make sure they're getting what they need and when they need it.
So it is ideal then for students who might be SEND or such like?
Absolutely. Firstly, it's important to say that we take the approach that all children deserve an individualised education as much as possible, regardless of whether or not they have a particular special need or diagnosis. So we draw up what we call PEP plans, personalised education plans, for every student as soon as they enrol. So this means we find out as much about them as possible, their strengths, areas they might find challenging, likes, dislikes, hobbies, etc., how they prefer to learn. And all the teachers are fully aware of this before they meet the students. These are working documents that teachers use to share important information, and that helps us support individual students as best we can. For example, adding particular strategies or ways of approaching lessons that will best engage particular students. A lot of our families have come to us because children with ADHD or ASD are struggling in mainstream. And I think the environment itself, removing the anxiety of the environment that they were in, is already three quarters of the problem solved, to be honest, you know, because they're now not having to deal with the sensory issues, the overwhelm, the, you know, the restrictions that one is, you know, under when you're in that kind of environment. So that's all gone straight away. So I would say that even just moving them out of that environment into something like what we're doing, the online environment, is a big way to, you know, resolving some of those issues. So firstly, that's gone. So now you've got a child who's in the comfort of their own home. They're in a calm, quiet learning environment that they feel they have some control over. So if they need a break, if they need to get a glass of water, if they're hot, if they're cold, if they're, you know, if they've got a sensory issue that they need to deal with, they can do that. It's about parents and children feeling that they have a semblance of control over their own choices, over their own educational journey. And so students like that, they need to feel like they have that sense of control over what they're doing. So yeah, it's really, really working for those children. I mean, the feedback we've had from families has been amazing about how it's had a knock-on effect on family life, the impact on the people around that child, and how he or she now is able to communicate, is able to interact. You know, students who couldn't kind of face big family gatherings, for example, or, you know, days out in a city because of the noise and things like that, just removing the anxiety, which is, it can be huge, you know, it can really build and take over family life. So removing that anxiety and getting them back into a place where they feel safe and they feel in control and they can focus on their learning has a huge impact on the rest of their lives, really.
Let's talk teachers then, very importantly. Is there a set roster of teachers, or is it more fluid with teachers coming and going?
So most of our teachers have been with us since the inception and share our passion for what we're doing. So we've very much built this school together. You know, we've all collaborated. The school has evolved over the last year and a half with input from our community, from our students, from the staff. So we do consider ourselves a team and the whole kind of community working together as a team for the good of the students, really. So things have changed, things have developed. We've built on things, you know, over this kind of last year and a half since we launched. And the teachers have been a huge part of that. And I would say all the things that we've said about control over your life, over your pathway, about having an alternative choice, I would say exactly the same things for our teachers, because, you know, they need a work-life balance. They need to be happy in what they do and in their jobs. And because they are at home with their families, they've got some control over their lives and their work-life balance. They're able to give everything to what they're doing with us. And I think teachers who are sometimes, I'm sure that people will relate to the fact that teachers can be overloaded, you know, with 30 children in a class. Mm. I mean, when I was a primary teacher, teaching 31, 32 children, you're teaching, you know, maths, English, science, you're teaching everything as a primary school teacher, right? And if you've got to, back in the day when marking books was a strict policy, it was marking 30 English books, 30 maths books, 30 science books, day in, day out. Plus you've got a diverse range of students in your class, you know, in secondary or primary, where maybe up to a third of them have got a particular special need. And obviously, as a teacher who's passionate about what you're doing, you want to help every single child. And you can't, you know, it's just not possible when you're in a traditional school environment. As hard as you work, as much as you give to the job, sometimes it's just not possible to do everything that you want to do. And I think our teachers have chosen an alternative pathway. They've come to us because they believe in what we're doing. Hmm. And they've grown with us as a school.
And I was thinking that, so the teachers themselves, they're not teaching from one centralised facility. They're all sort of spread around.
That's right, yes. Yeah. They're all remote. They're mostly, you know, based in the UK. But we do have, you know, again, families living alternative lifestyles. We've got a teacher who lives in Abu Dhabi. I've got a teacher that lives in Spain. I've got a teacher that's living in India, our computer science specialist. I've got, yeah, the teachers, you know, scattered all over the place, but the most of them are in the UK. But like I said, a few of whom are all over the world for one reason or another. And it's fantastic. You know, it brings a whole different context to it. You know, it's a real kind of global community.
But as you say, they are all qualified to the standards that you've set.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all highly qualified. Lots of them have got master's degrees. You know, they've all been teaching for quite a number of years, many of whom in senior leadership positions, you know. So, yeah, we recruit very carefully and make sure that all our teachers are of the highest quality. We're incredibly proud of our team. They are absolutely outstanding. And their pastoral care as well is second to none. I mean, if you speak to any of our families, if you read our Trustpilot reviews, for example, the feedback that our families have given us, it's all about how much we care, and we genuinely do. First and foremost, we want happy students that feel safe, that feel comfortable, that are engaging with their learning, and their mental health and well-being is absolutely at the forefront of everything we do. And that's not just something I say, you know, that is genuinely something that is the most important thing. You know, as a mother of three children and a teenager, you know, we all know what it's like raising teenagers and how challenging that can be. And certainly in this day and age, we have to be really, really careful in terms of making sure that they've got, you know, the quality of their mental health, and making sure that they're happy and safe and comfortable. The level of care that we provide at Benbridge really does, you know, make sure that we put that first.
And that's an interesting point you were mentioning there about pastoral care. How does that work online? Because people might think, well, perhaps if you haven't got that personal touch, can it be the same?
Every student has a dedicated form tutor. And we do have weekly form sessions. We do deliver PSHE. The students in the GCSE years, so from year 10 and above, they all have one-to-one mentoring sessions regularly with their tutor to check in and make sure they're okay. But we communicate. I think the key is communication. And we communicate with families all the time. So although we are all spread out, all the teachers communicate with each other, which is a really important, you know, kind of element, really. It's not just, they're not teaching in isolation. They're not just teaching their group, their subject, and then they switch off. We have lots of channels of communication open. So, for example, if a student wasn't online and there was no reason for that absence, it would happen in the same way as in a traditional school. The parent would get an email, so-and-so hasn't turned up for art today. Is he okay? Do you need any support? Is there anything we can do? And the teachers will communicate that to each other. Has anybody seen Johnny today? Do we know that he's okay? So the levels of care are incredibly high, and we've got such an effective and strong kind of communication between the parents, the staff, and myself. You know, I oversee everything. So I'm copied into all the emails, and I see all the communication that goes in and out. And I'm always available. If we feel like a student needs a bit of extra support, I can just pick up the phone and talk to the parents. They can call me anytime. We've got a very virtual open door policy.
So the principal's door is always open.
The principal's door, virtual door, is always open. I speak to families day in, day out, you know, just to make sure that everything's going okay.
And when it comes down to actually teaching methods, would you say, is it the sort of the same as you might find in a traditional school in front of a classroom? Does it work the same way, the actual, I suppose, process of teaching?
Obviously, you've got to teach, you know, you've got a teacher leading the class, as you would expect. They use a whole different range of apps and technology to deliver that in, you know, in a more modern fashion, I suppose. You know, we've got many different ways of students interacting and collaborating in those classes using different types of technology. It is similar, I suppose, in a traditional sense, in that the teacher is there teaching, but we're very much you know, we very much believe in collaboration, you know, interdependence, working together, having the confidence to speak out. You know, we do design our classes so that students can be active learners, can take a real active part in the process and engage in their own learning. So similarities and differences, you know, the teacher isn't going to stand or sit in front of the screen for 50 minutes kind of teaching. It's very much about live interaction and working together and collaborating as children move through that learning process.
What about social interaction between the actual students themselves? And again, perhaps if someone had no experience of using something like the Academy, they think, well, would my child be interacting with other children?
We do use breakout rooms for students to be able to work on group projects, for them to be able to discuss things. They are always encouraged within lessons to share their thoughts and ideas and discuss with their peers. We do have some students who might find it more difficult than others to actually, you know, open up and share thoughts and ideas in that kind of environment. So we work with them to find a way that makes them comfortable. So, for example, if they find it a little daunting speaking up when they're, even if they're only six or seven students, they might feel a little worried about saying something in case they get it wrong or whatever. So we then maybe put them in a pair. We work with the individual families and students to kind of make sure that, you know, they're making progress in a way that is comfortable for them. So students will work together in pairs, in small groups, within their class. In terms of socialising outside of the actual live lesson, we have got the form time once a week, which is a little bit more informal. They might get to spend a little bit more free time together, or, you know, as you would expect in form group activities and PSHE, students tend to have, it tends to be a little bit more group work based. We do have virtual break times as well. So, you know, we will supervise that online because obviously we can't leave the students to their own devices, but we will set up a virtual break time so that they can chat, you know, freely to each other and build those relationships. But I have it on good authority that a lot of these students have already swapped Snapchat or WhatsApps or, you know, however they choose to communicate these days. And they are building these relationships outside of the school platform as well, which is really nice to see. And we are organising our first ever school trip as we
speak. I was going to say school trips. Yes, trips happen.
They do happen. And we're hoping to meet a lot of our students face to face in March, actually. So we're going to London and we're going to, you know, do the traditional things, London Eye, Natural History Museum, and go and see a show.
Great.
And
can
just
I come?
Kind of, yeah, you can come and just hang out and spend some time and get to know each other a little bit in person, which is exciting.
Something like chemistry, if you're doing chemistry, the practical side, is that viable?
Yes, I mean, we cover all elements of the requirements of the course. The IGCSE course, which is the one that we're following with Pearson IGCSE specification, that you do have to cover it, but you don't have to physically have done the practicals. So, for example, we'll watch videos. The science teachers will conduct experiments in their own homes as best they can. You know, they probably all haven't got Bunsen burners and things like that set up in their houses. But any experiments that they can do themselves, they will do live with the students. Otherwise, there's a wealth of resources online, you know, videos and YouTube videos of things that have already been done to share with the students. So they can study the experiments, they can look at them, they can watch them, they can cover the course content. Some of the more simple experiments can be done at home. You know, students can be asked to gather certain bits of equipment and ingredients, etc., to experiment with things at home. So yeah, it's a combination. We try to keep it interesting and mix it up, but it certainly covers, we do cover all the necessary content for science at GCSE.
And are there any core subjects which you can't cover online?
Well, I'd say the only one that I would say we probably couldn't cover right now is PE. Even things like music, you know, we can cover the creative arts in creative ways, you know. And our art teacher, for example, is working a lot on digital art and things like that. She's got amazing digital art portfolios going on with the students. That's going to be a fully online IGCSE as well for this next cohort, because we are moving towards being able to do completely online exams. But yes, I would say the more physical subjects obviously are going to be more challenging. You know, DT, woodwork, clearly that's not really very practical. Well, it is practical, which is why it's not practical to do online. You know, we're always looking for creative ways to expand what we're offering. And if we can bring some of those practical elements in, you know, we will as we go forward. But yeah, it's a challenge for those kind of things, I would say. But certainly the science practicals are easy enough to cover with the videos. Anything students have to do physically themselves, that's really the only limitation.
And you mentioned, of course, the Trustpilot reviews, which I suppose so many people now like to see what other people think of services, so they are there for people to see.
I like to say, don't just take my word for it. Really, they are genuine reviews straight from the families that have been with us for the last year or two. That's genuinely their experience of us, genuinely their thoughts and feelings and their feedback. So that's far more important than listening to me on the radio, isn't it? You know, go and have a look at what our parents are actually saying about us. And we're very proud of our reviews. Yeah.
So if anyone is listening to this and thinking, you know what, this could be right for us, for our children, for our family, our circumstances, what would you say to them? What's the best way to toe the water to find out more? What would they do?
Well, I would say the first thing to do is give me a call. I'm open for a chat anytime, an informal chat. Happy to talk to anybody really about how it works, answer any questions, explain a little bit more about how we teach and how it operates. The other thing to do is opt for a free trial. Happy to organise a free trial, either a one lesson, two lessons a day, you know, whatever suits you really. I think it's all about getting to know the child. So once, you know, just call us for a chat and we can find out a little bit more about your situation and see if we can work together to find a way forward.
And a website they can go to?
Yeah, it's www.benbridgeacademy.co.uk.
Lovely. And just finally, do you think this from your own experience, as you say, as a head and for years in education, do you see this as the future, you think, of education?
I think as more and more of our world moves online, learning in this way is going to become an increasingly popular option. Developing skills such as collaborating online, working with other people in virtual environments, presenting and sharing projects and ideas, no matter where they are in the world, are going to be essential in the workplace. Online learning equips our students for the future by focusing on 21st century skills, not just the use of apps and technology, but developing innovative and creative ways of working, as well as the fundamental skills like resilience, independence, interdependence. I think more and more careers now rely on people being able to adapt to a whole range of different scenarios, including working from home, working on their own initiative, within a team, from different locations. And we believe that learning these skills from a young age very much sets children up really well for future success. Children are so familiar with the online world, more so than most adults. So why not meet them there? Let's use it to their advantage and educate them on a platform they're already familiar with, already comfortable with, and that plays such an important part in all aspects of their lives already. There'll always be a place for traditional school environments, but I do believe that we're going to see more families opting for online learning in the future. And as we said at the very beginning, it's all about being able to make a choice that works for you.